We have got an energizing hour for you. This morning, we're going to give you all kinds of wonderful information, including requesting that you have a pad of paper and a pen handy, because we always have such good things to share on the show. And here's our toll-free number you'll be able to call into later on in the hour, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Well, today is a day dedicated to understanding that there are options for maintaining wellness. In our world today, more and more people are saying, I want to be in charge of making my life healthy, happy, and where I can be in charge and understand what is best for me. Well, homeopathy is a subject matter that some people are a little bit leery about, but it's been around for a long time. And my guest, Alan Mucker, is going to be telling us a great deal about this. Alan, welcome to the show.
Oh, welcome, Donna.
And you're calling in from where in Pennsylvania?
I'm in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Philadelphia, beautiful city. Alan, here, you don't mind my calling you Alan, do you?
That's fine, yeah.
Wonderful. This is a book that when I first saw it, I said, oh my goodness, I just love the cover, the colors on it, the different plants that are shown about it. Tell us about homeopathy. How did it start? Why is it so valid? There's a lot of questions we could ask. Why don't you answer just those three?
Okay. Homeopathy is a medical science. It was developed by Samuel Hahnemann, after whom Hahnemann Hospital in Philadelphia was named. And it's based on two principles. The first one is like cures like. And it says that any substance that can produce symptoms in a healthy person can cure similar symptoms in a person who's sick. And I'm going to give you a concrete example of that.
Okay.
When you get poison ivy, mm-hmm. you get an itching, burning rash. And if you get it bad enough, you also develop very stiff and painful muscles. You become restless and anxious. So poison ivy turned into a homeopathic remedy can be used to cure everything from burns, various rashes, sprains, rheumatoid arthritis, and also restless anxiety, because the plant can produce those symptoms. It can therefore cure those symptoms in a sick person. Another example would be if you're chopping an onion, it makes your eyes water and your
mm-hmm.
nose burn.
Mm-hmm.
So homeopathic doses of onion can be used to treat allergies and hay fever where you have this watery eyes and burning nose. The second principle of homeopathy is called the minimum dose. And it says that you should use the least amount of medicine necessary to stimulate healing. And the way homeopathy accomplishes that is by starting out with, say, a plant or a mineral and subjecting it to a process of dilutions and succussions, which is pounding it while it's in solution thousands of times. And you end up with, you've removed the original substance, which might have been toxic, and you leave nothing but the energy pattern. And so you are actually curing by presenting the body with an energy pattern. So say, with the case of poison ivy, it thinks there's poison ivy coming in, and so it rallies and puts out all the defensive things it needs to do to cure those symptoms.
I want my audience to know a little bit about you, Alan. From the time you were 13 years of age, you've been involved with chemistry. And when we're talking with homeopathy or homeopathy, people pronounce it different ways. And this I find intriguing, because whenever you're dealing with plants, whenever you're dealing with anything related to illness, it all is relating to physiological chemistry. That has always been a challenge, and it's only been recently, to my observation, I'd say especially in the last 10 years, that the orthodox medical community has been interested in exploring this to a greater degree, but there's always been this type of thing. So here you are, 13, you have your own full chemistry lab. You've absolutely had a passion for science, and you have a curiosity that still goes on today. And you were giving lectures in junior high school. on your chemistry?
I think some people just are born to things. It comes so naturally.
Yes, and for you, that was the case. You just love to talk about chemistry. I mean, how many kids can we think of in junior high that are going to be giving lectures on chemistry and biology? I mean, I couldn't even count one. I haven't got a clue about anybody that I've known in my lifetime that in junior high could teach other people about these things. And you went to Temple University.
Yes.
You graduated summa cum laude. You were a Phi Beta Kappa and President's Scholar. Now, you took another track. You got involved with respiratory therapy, and you worked for 3 years at Einstein Hospital in Philadelphia, where you worked in an area that they tried to make TV shows out of, you know, intensive care, emergency rooms. And this had a profound effect on you because you decided you wanted to get into healing. And how, you know, what made you go into homeopathy?
Well, you know, when I first started working in the hospital, I was very impressed, as everyone is. You people with the uniforms and the machines and everything looks very efficient. And conventional medicine does some wonderful things, but it also has some deficits. There are a lot of things it can't do. For instance, when the wonder drugs came out in the 40s, we thought they were going to cure everything. Mm-hmm. But we find now that virtually no chronic ailments are cured using conventional drugs. We can suppress symptoms with them, but we can't cure them. And working in the hospital, I saw a lot of people suffering. At the time, I didn't know about homeopathy, but I thought there has to be something better. And so subsequent to that, when I learned about homeopathy, I thought, wow, that's what was needed back then. Here's a form of medicine that addresses both the mind and the body that conceives of living things as based in energy. See, conventional medicine thinks of us as complex machines, and that's you get the term genetic engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also thought of as a bunch of chemicals, but something has to make those chemicals alive. And in India, they call that qi, as in qigong. In China, it's called prana.
Mm-hmm.
And the yogis use breathing to move that around. So Hahnemann called it the vital force. And he saw people as essentially energy beings. And he said that sickness is due to their energy being blocked. And that's what gives rise to physical ailments. So we thought, well, let's try to solve the problem at the energy level. And that has some wonderful advantages to it. For one thing, it's very, very safe. Now, you know, for instance, that there was an article in the Journal of the American Medical Association that showed that conventional drugs, even when they're properly taken, are the fourth leading cause of death in the country. And then also Dr. David Graham testified before a Senate committee that the one drug, Vioxx, killed more Americans than the Vietnam War. So we really need a medicine which is safer.
Now, homeopathy has been around for a long, long time. And it has a history that precedes it because there's always been those people that have had an affinity with nature. And since everything that we use is chemical in composition, there were those people like yourself that had a natural acumen for observation and for curiosity and learned about plants. The process of distilling it, though, down so that it is effective, and it is something, like you said, that's not going to cause any harm.
Right.
That is quite a challenge. When is, with homeopathy, when you have someone that is going through various situations, this isn't a magic bullet. It is something that helps the body heal itself, and it is a slower process. I mean, there's no real fast fix here.
Well, actually, it depends on the ailment. If it's an ailment that just came on, like the flu, or if you suffered an injury, the remedy can actually work very quickly. For chronic ailments, it works slowly but very surely. It may take a period of weeks or months. So it's very safe. As I've said, all the remedies are FDA approved. It's very economical because the remedies cost about 8 cents a dose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very effective. You know, people are worried now about the bird flu because they're thinking back to the Spanish flu of 1918.
Oh, and that was a doozy. That went around the world. How many times? Four times?
It did, and it killed somewhere between 20 and 40 million people.
Yes, all over the world.
So here is a statistic that in the United States, which at the time had 200 homeopathic hospitals, homeopathy saved 98% of the Americans who used it for that flu. That's an amazing figure, which most people don't know about. In 1974, there was a meningitis epidemic in Brazil, and homeopathy was used for prevention because you can also use it before an ailment,
mm-hmm.
and it protected 99% of the people who took it. So it's useful for both treating and for prevention, and it's safe, it's economical. It doesn't lead to resistant germs. In fact, you can use it against antibiotic-resistant infections. So I really wish that more doctors would be open to it in this country.
Now, let me ask a question. What does it take to become certified? If someone were, and I know there's so many of my listeners that have such an interest in being healthy and using what is often described as the most natural process as possible, how do you become knowledgeable about this? I mean, the average person, where can they go? I mean, what are the references?
Well, I'll tell you a little story. My mother is 91 years old. About 10 years ago, I got her a book on homeopathy and a kit of remedies. And every once in a while, she'd call me and say, well, I've got this little problem. What do you think I should take? But over the next several months, she learned. And nowadays, she calls me a few days afterward and she says, oh, I wasn't feeling good. This is what I took and this is how great it worked. So I think for minor, some even very uncomfortable acute ailments, everything ranging from coughs and colds to influenzas, measles, mumps, things like that, your average person can get a good book on homeopathy. If you can read a cookbook, you can use a homeopathy book. And you can treat a lot of self-limiting ailments. If someone wanted to become a homeopath, I think the best thing would be to call the National Center for Homeopathy, which is in Virginia, and they could direct you to one of the many different courses there are around the country if you wanted to formally learn it. But you can do an awful lot with just a book and a kit of remedies.
Now, I've got some information, and your book, by the way, for those of you listening, this book is marvelous because it is so well done. It's Homeopathy, an A to Z Home Handbook. And Alan V. Schumacher is my guest this morning. And I'm just really intrigued with this because of the information. And I've used that word twice, I know, but it is something that causes you to really ask some questions. And I was just amazed to find out that homeopathy was first practiced in the United States around 1825.
Yes. In the year 1900, actually, here, there were homeopathic hospitals, pharmacies, about a quarter of all the doctors were homeopaths, and some insurance companies would give you a 10% discount if you were seeing a homeopathic physician. So it was very big in this country at that time. It's still huge throughout the world. For instance, in England, it's prescribed in France by 39% of the doctors.
Oh, my goodness.
In England, 42% of the physicians refer their patients to a homeopath. In England and France and in the Netherlands, it's covered under their national health care system. The French pharmacists are all required to learn homeopathy, which is sold in all 23,000 pharmacies. And homeopathy has been the preferred treatment of the royal family in England for the last three generations. Prince Charles carries a kit with him wherever he goes. So we find it also in throughout South America. We find it in Germany. In German hospitals, they're using it to treat cancer and some very serious illnesses. In India, there are 70,000 board-certified physicians who use homeopathy. So it's, even though people don't hear about it too much in the United States, it's being used everywhere else.
Now, why did it disappear?
Well, it disappeared for a number of reasons, one of which was there was a concerted effort by the American Medical Association, who felt somewhat threatened because homeopathy was becoming more and more popular. And so they started doing things like preventing homeopaths from taking state licensing exams by interfering with funding to homeopathic schools by threatening to expel their own members if they were seen talking to a homeopath. It was a bit of a witch hunting period. And that, another reason, is the advent of the pharmaceutical companies, which spent an awful lot of money promoting conventional drugs. They had a huge marketing system going. So between that and the AMA, homeopathy pretty much fell out of favor in the United States. But it's making a comeback, and for instance, sales of the remedies are up over 1,000% now. It's being taught in a number of medical schools. There are several insurance companies now that cover homeopathies. And people all over the country are forming what are called study groups. And self-teaching and self-learning homeopathy from books, from tapes. Sometimes they invite the local homeopath to give a lecture. And people who would like to start a group in their community or find out about where one is, they can contact the National Center for Homeopathy.
You have so many parts on this book, and again, for those of you who are listening, it's the homeopathy, that's the title of the book, an A to Z home handbook. And I'm looking through, and there's just all kinds of information. Let's talk about something so simple as a bruise.
Yes.
And this, you know, is a wound in which the skin is not broken. There's pain, swelling, and discoloration. Now, there are some people, I know I have a propensity for bruising. This has just been with me as far back as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And here you have different, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different items here.
Yes.
Tell us how someone would work with a bruise. Is this applied topically? Do you take
I should have explained that. Homeopathic remedies, when you buy them in the health food store, they come in either tubes or bottles, and they look like little pellets about the size of BBs usually.
Mm-hmm.
And you tap a few of them into the cap and just toss them onto your tongue and let them dissolve. You don't swallow them the way you would swallow a normal pill. You let them dissolve on your tongue. And the only rule you need to have for safety is, as you start to feel better, use it less often. And when you're really feeling good, just stop taking it because the effect continues for a period of time. So basically, if you're treating an emergency situation like a bruise or a cut, you can look that up in the book, tell you exactly what remedy to take. If we're looking at bruises, for instance, the first remedy listed is arnica.
Mm-hmm.
It's made from a plant called leopard's bane. And if you were to chew and eat some leopard's bane, you would get bruises all over you. So we make a remedy out of that, and that will cure bruises in a person who's gotten bruised. Whatever substance can produce, it can cure. This really takes the healing aspect of nature and combines it with ourselves in a very natural process that's free of any kind of side effects. And once the remedy has done what it's going to do, it just simply disappears.
So many people today are in medical treatment for cancer. They're taking chemotherapy, radiation. You even address this. Tell us about the chemotherapy.
Well, when people get chemotherapy, a number of things can happen. It can affect their blood cell counts. It can cause the side effects of nausea and vomiting, some very distressing symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are homeopathic remedies that a person on chemotherapy can take to relieve those symptoms. So here's a wonderful advantage. I mean, there are things a doctor could give you to deal with those symptoms, but those are also chemicals, and then you can get a reaction to that. So you kind of keep making the body more toxic, whereas the homeopathic remedy will relieve the symptoms and actually reduce your toxic load.
Now, you address cholera, you address chicken pox. Let's talk about the common cold. People will say there is no cure for the common cold. What would you recommend here?
Well, of course, in the book I have a number of remedies. I always suggest people take vitamin C. Linus Pauling taught us that 20 years ago. But there are about 8 different remedies, and you would just match the one to the symptoms you're having. But very often, you go out in the cold or you're standing next to an air conditioner and you catch a cold. And in a situation that was brought on by cold wind, the remedy called aconite will stop that in its tracks. It'll stop that cold in its tracks. So instead of having to have the snuffles for the next 2 weeks, you'll be fine. You go out and play your tennis. If, for instance, the cold got a little more advanced and you found that your nose was running like a tap,
mm-hmm.
and it was very clear, and you were doing a lot of sneezing, you could take a remedy made from onion called Allium Sepa, and then within a couple hours, you'd be feeling fine. So depending on what your symptoms are. And it's interesting, homeopathic remedies, we also try to match them to your state of mind. So, for instance, if you have two children with earaches, and one of them is very irritable and snappish, that one would need the remedy Chamomilia. And if the other one, say, was very weepy and clingy and wanted company and desired sympathy, that child would need the remedy Pulsatilla, even though the pain in the ear is almost identical in both. So we can often choose a remedy based on a person's state of mind. In fact, we can use remedies to treat aberrant states of mind. If a person was feeling anxious, say, crossing a bridge. I had a client who couldn't drive through the Holland Tunnel, which he had to do to get to work every day. And I suggested he take a remedy called Argentum Nitricum. And he did, and within a week, he couldn't even remember what those fearful thoughts were about. And he was very grateful about that. So we can treat both the mental, emotional, and the physical level with homeopathy.
A homeopathic physician has to then be a very good listener as well as questioner of his patient, which is what I think every physician should be anyway. But to do this and to effectively choose, because of the differences you have just brought up, it is important to ask questions of your patients and to get their feedback so that you can make those discerning judgments.
You know, it's a funny thing you mentioned that. I was at a doctor's office with a friend recently, and she was trying to describe her symptoms, and the doctor kept interrupting her, and she never really got to describe them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to contrast that. The first time I went to a homeopath, that was for a chronic ailment, and I sat down, and he said, "Well, what brings you here?" And I talked for about 50 minutes, and he just sat there listening and taking notes. And then he asked a few questions for clarification. A typical interview for a chronic health problem, say if you had kidney disease or heart disease, takes about 2 hours. And during that time, the homeopath does more listening than talking. So the person can really express themselves, really get to all the little details and the little nuances of their illness that might not come out if they were just being asked, say, 4 or 5 questions.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, empathy is very important. We really get to know our patients very well because we need to know, we're treating the person rather than the illness. So we need to really understand the person. And I've had clients say to me, after I took their case, they'd say, "Well, you know, I don't know if you're going to cure me or not, but this is the first time anyone has ever really listened to me."
That, I think, is so very significant. In our world today, sadly, we have evolved to a point where to just listen is almost considered a negative, and it shouldn't be. It should not be considered a negative. How else are you really going to find out what someone is feeling?
Yes. You
have to ask the questions and just sit back and listen.
Yeah, listening is so important. I learned that from the psychologist Carl Rogers, who made that the basis of his therapy, actually. Empathy, being able to really listen deeply in between the lines to people's feelings. Because if you don't listen to other people, then you're really only living inside your own head all the time, and you never really experience anyone else.
I wanted to address one subject matter. I know we've got a few minutes, and we're going to be out of time. There is a chronic condition throughout the United States that plagues so many Americans, and I have to raise my hand and say I'm one of them, and it is sinusitis.
Yes.
And people, I think, have become more and more affected with this condition, and it can last for years. I had it for years and didn't realize it. Just, you know, the changes that occur with the sinuses, and it's so difficult to get rid of. And yet you have a number of choices here.
Yes. And anyone can pick up a book, this one or another one, and read through the descriptions of the remedies and treat their symptoms with this. Now, if you wanted a long-term cure, so you wouldn't even have to take remedies, you would probably see a homeopath, because sinusitis is actually a deeper illness than it seems. It's not just about your nose, and sometimes there are inherited tendencies, and a homeopath would know how to deal with that. But just the person who's suffering, who's tried so many different things, can pick up a book like this. Let me just give you an example. I have the remedy Hydrastis listed. It's made from golden seal, the herb. And I say that the secretions are very thick and sticky and yellow. It's very characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a sensation of a hair in the nose. And it feels horrible when you inhale cold air. That's very specific. If those are your symptoms, then Hydrastis will relieve them beautifully. If, on the other hand, you have greenish-yellow mucus with some blood streaking in it, and it irritates your nostrils, then you would need the remedy Mercurius. So each one has a little description, and you simply match that to your symptoms. And, you know, you really have to try this to believe it, because I know it seems almost magical. It's the thing we learn with our bodies. You can hear about it, you can look at it in the book, but until you actually take a remedy and you see what happens, it's really hard to believe.
And so if there are those of you that are interested in exploring an alternative method, this is used throughout the world, and his statistics on the countries in Europe where
yes.
physicians are using it are all right here in his wonderful book, Homeopathy, an A to Z Home Handbook. Alan Schumuckler is my guest, and that's spelled S-C-H-M-U-K-L-E-R. Alan, do you have a website that people can go to for more information?
I don't. I'm working on creating one.
All
but
right.
But technology isn't my strong point. Homeopathy is, so.
Well, I'm glad it is your strong point, because it is really, really wonderful. How long does someone have to go to school to become a qualified homeopathic physician?
Well, there are courses that go on. There are 3-year courses and 4-year courses. But even after that, and of course you could practice after that, but most homeopaths study for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
When we pick up a book and read, it's like eating chocolate chip cookies. We don't want to put it down. It's so exciting.
Well, and it's a lot less fattening. Oh, my guest again is Alan V. Schumuckler, and we are going to be going to a break. His wonderful book, Homeopathy, however you choose to pronounce it, an A to Z Home Handbook. And it is so easy to read. And there's a lot of references in the back as well. Books to read, places to go to, websites to visit, all kinds of wonderful things. Alan, thank you so much for being my guest today.
My pleasure, Donna.
You have a wonderful day and keep up all this wonderful work.
Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we've got lots of good things to share with you. So, hey, keep that pad of paper and pen handy. It's going to come in handy. Donna Sebo here. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I want to give out our toll-free number because telephone lines are now open if you would like to call in and chat with me. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Well, it's coming up. I've got to mention it to you, the Washington State Renaissance Fantasy Fair. I am going to be participating in that fabulous event these next 3 weekends. Yes, August 1st is tomorrow, and so the first 3 weekends in August, this wonderful annual event is going on. Now, where is it happening? It's at the Mentor Creek Ranch in Gig Harbor, Washington, and the dates are August 5th, 6th, 12th, 13th, 19th, and 20th, and you can go to their website, WashingtonRenFair.com. That's Washington, R-E-N-F-A-I-R-E.com, and there you can get discounted tickets. you can find out about all of the different activities that are going on there. Of course, the best way to really find out about the activities is to participate, isn't it? To be right out there on the grounds, entering into a time frame of the 16th century. Really makes you appreciate modern day life, believe me. And I'm going to be there. I will have my booth on Main Street. Look for the bright golden yellow signs with the huge red lions on them, and you'll find me inside. I'll be doing many consultations for people, but it is such a fabulous event. Absolutely awesome. Costumes. Yes, I'll be all dressed up in costume, too. It's just absolutely wonderful. And I invite you to go to WashingtonRenFair.com and find out all of the delicious details about this wonderful family event that goes on every year during this time. And you can also call them. Now, the site is Washington Ren Fair. Don't forget to put the E on the word fair.com. You can also call them at 800-359-5948. Donna Sebo here, and I want to let you know about some of the lineup of guests that we have this month. And don't forget, this is the last show for 11 to noon. Tomorrow we're going to be starting at 3 o'clock. So change all of your little notes that you might have about the Donna Sebo show. Know that we're going to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We're going to start off the month of August with Patricia Heller. And she is a psychic, a woman that has gone through her own particular journey of self-development. So we're going to be hearing about how if you get a message three times, you better pay attention. Then, oh, one of the greatest foods just about any time of the year, but especially during summer. What is that? Ice cream. Yes. We're going to be talking about more than a month of Sundays. Michael Turbeck is going to be my guest, and we are going to have a scrumptious time, and I know you're going to want to write down some of the recipes he's going to recommend. Then we're going to be going to Hollywood. Yes, on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Luke Yankee. Now, this is the son of a very, very famous actress, Eileen Heckert, and you would, if you saw her picture, you would recognize her immediately. And he wrote the most wonderful book about his mother just outside the spotlight. So we're going to be talking Hollywood on Thursday. And then Eleanor Wiley is going to be with us. And her book is There Are No Mistakes. She believes that there is a rhythm in life and there are no mistakes. So we are going to be finding out about all kinds of things. We have got a doodle lady that's going to be coming on. We're going to teach you how you can eat without having to take in wheat in your diet. Buddha or bust, ginseng, are you afraid of things? Well, we're going to have guests that are going to be addressing all of these different subject matters, and I just know you're going to really enjoy every single one of them. So tomorrow, don't forget, we're going to be talking with Patricia Heller and hearing the message three times. If you do, pay attention. So we're going to learn more about that tomorrow. Toll-free number, if you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. And by the way, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. That's it. That's all you have to tell me. And then just let me tell you what I perceive. Now, I wanted to share what I felt was such a significant story that was brought to my attention. And this is about a mom. Her name is Misty, and she had a little girl. This little girl was a year old, and sadly, to her, it was just a sad situation. She found out her child was deaf, and she really hadn't been aware of it. And her daughter, by the time her first birthday had come around, had never said one word. Do you know that on the average, a baby speaks about three words by 13 months, and by the age three, a child will know as many as 1,000? That's how fast they learn. Speaking it and communicating. They just are absolutely incredible. Well, with her daughter, Alia, not being able to speak, they finally decided we've got to have her checked. And what they found was that the child had no hearing. So it just was beyond her, beyond her belief. She couldn't believe that this child was deaf. She said, how can this be? Well, Alia had observation capabilities. Children do this. They just do what they have to do. There was a communication telepathically and just through various actions that the mother and the child had established, and it worked very, very well. Well, she was very concerned, naturally. None of us as mothers want our children to in any way be handicapped. And she was just trying to figure out what was going on. Well, one day after the diagnosis had been made, she went into a depression and she was crying. And her little girl came over to her and she said she gave her mom a kiss on the forehead. She's just a little bit over a year old. And then she goes around to the back of her mom and she pats her mom on the back, comforting her the way her mom had comforted her, Alia, when she hadn't been feeling good. And she said, it made me realize that we had been communicating very, very well, but I knew that my daughter was going to have to communicate in the real world. So fortunately, when Alia was 21 months old, she was able to get a cochlear implant, and this is an electronic ear. And when she first had the response from it, Alia just held her head. This was new to her. She was hearing sounds. She didn't understand. So her mother whispered to her, "Ladybug." And Alia just responded to that in her mother's voice. And she said, now at 2 years of age, a little girl knocks on the door and says, "Open." She speaks just as well as anybody else, and she's a regular chatterbox. But she said, I learned something from my little girl. And that is that love doesn't need words. Love communicates in a wonderful way all by itself. And she said, I'm so grateful that my daughter has hearing, but she taught me a wonderful lesson when she was just a year old. Now, babies can learn sign language, and this should not come as a surprise to any of you. And it's a very, very good way to communicate with your children, whether they have hearing difficulties or whether they have perfect hearing. There's a lot of people that are experts with signing that say babies just love to communicate this way. Also, if you make a sign, and all of us do it in so many different ways, we have our own ways of using our hands and communicating. So you need to be sure if your child does have a hearing problem, you want to make the sign, whatever that sign is, in front of their vision so that they can see, and you just repeat it, and then they read you like a book. And also speak while you sign, accenting the signed word. For example, do you want some milk? And also, according to Nancy Cajun, she has an organization called Sign Babies, S-I-G-N Babies. Babies can start learning as soon as they can hold eye contact. So if you want them to eat, you can take your fingers of your hand, putting them up to your mouth, just like eating. And then if you want the eyes closed, put the hand over the eyes to show that the eyes should be closed. And if you want to say play, you know, if you want to, if you want them to go to sleep, you put like the hands over the eyes. And then if you want them to play, you make a Y with your fingers and you just wiggle them back and forth. And that'll indicate play. And if you want them to know, if you want to know if they want more, put your fingers together, both hands, you group your fingers together and just touch them, touch the fingertips together. And then if they want milk, then you just pretend like you're milking a cow. Isn't that fascinating stuff? There's so many ways to communicate. And I want to encourage those of you that may have members of the family that are having hearing problems. A cochlear implant changed the life of a very dear friend of mine. And I can remember when I first mentioned it to her, she was in her late 60s, and she had been deaf because of flying planes. She had actually flown bombers in World War II. And she lost her hearing, and she said, oh, I don't want to have anything like that. Well, as it turned out, it was about 12 years later, she ended up going for a cochlear implant. And as it turned out, her hearing was almost totally returned. And she said it just opened her world back up for her. So if you know of anybody that is having hearing problems, encourage them to investigate options that they can seek out and go to various hearing specialists, find out about the different hearing aids. I know it's very uncomfortable, but too frequently people avoid taking care of their hearing and or finding those options that they have where they can be a part of the hearing world. And so many of us are bombarded with very, very loud sounds on a regular basis, and it can happen from your work environment. It can happen from playing music that literally lifts the top of your car off. You just need to be aware that softer with tones is better. But if you are having a problem, don't hesitate to seek out some counsel and advice. There's no reason for you not to enjoy the fabulous world of sound. Whether it's a child or an adult, it makes a difference. And it makes you feel like you can be a part of life. You don't feel so alienated. So don't be afraid to explore options. They've come a long way in helping people to live a richer, fuller life with technology. They can't fix everything. I don't know that they ever will. But they sure have come a long way to be able to enable us to have that personal power. This is Donna Sebo here. If you would like to chat with me, let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227 is the telephone number to call. And I know we're going to be going to break in just a moment. And if we have time when we come back, I am going to be sharing maybe a special recipe with you today. Oh, I fixed the best lemon cake this past weekend for a large party, and it was just delicious, and I'm going to share that with you sometime this week. Absolutely wonderful to fix. But when we come back, we'll talk about how they're finding out how people, if they have a diseased organ, they may be able to grow an organ for that person using their own cells. So don't go away. We will be right back. This is Donna Sebo. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like a chat, 877-876-5227. And yes, I'm going to be making a public appearance at the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair these next 3 weekends. Can you believe it's August already? Amazing how time goes by. And this is just such a fabulous fantasy event. It's 3 weekends of wonderful family fun. Bring out your friends, call your neighbors, come on out. People fly in from all over the country to attend this wonderful event. We have jousting. Ah, yes, knights jousting for king, queen, country, or the hand of a fair maiden. And you'll see many fair maidens and handsome gents out there in their magnificent costumes. And this is a 16th century village. And it is absolutely awesome because when you walk through the gates and you enter into this time frame, it is just a lot of fun. And you'll hear me mentioning fun over and over again. But it gives you such a refreshing break because it just transforms everything that you might have had in your mind. You have a total state of relaxation, pleasure, and enjoyment, delicious food. There are 8 stages for entertainment throughout this entire event. They are going constantly. You have the storytellers that wander around. You have magicians. One of my favorite people is the guy who's on stilts. He must be at least 12 feet high. And he just walks around and he juggles. He does all kinds of things. It is wonderful. It's absolutely magical. And the smiles on the children's faces and adults are just having a wonderful time. People even bring their dogs. I mean, it's amazing. Lots and lots of fun. So what I'd like for you to do, go to their website, WashingtonRenFair.com. That's Washington, RENFAIRE.com. And you can get your tickets discounted. Yes. And I will be happy to do many consultations while I'm there. I'm going to have a lot of books for sale. And you can print your ticket online when you go to WashingtonRenFair.com. So join us for any one of these weekends. We will just be looking forward to meeting you, and you will have the time of your life. Like I said, bring friends, bring family. You will just know it's going to be memorable. In fact, it's going to be so memorable that you'll want to come every year. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And remember, all I need is your first name or initial. So just give me a call on our toll-free line. There are individuals that, for whatever reason, have organs in the body that become diseased, damaged. Perhaps they've had an automobile accident. Transplanted organs, they're able to do it to a certain level. But so often there's a conflict when they will try to replace an organ. Sometimes that organ cannot be accepted by the new body. Well, here is something that is evolving. Have you ever heard of an organ printer? This is a new terminology. Organ donors may eventually be replaced by them, if not totally. And what this is, the organ printers are machines that can build living transplantable organs one layer at a time. And if you're familiar with a dot matrix printer, you know how little by little there are those layers that they print up to get the final image that they want, whatever it is that you're wanting to have printed out. Now, this is a prototype device. It's being built by Inscript. It's a company out of Orlando, Florida. And they're doing this. They're depositing 1/100th of an inch thick dollops of lab-cultured cells onto a layer of gel-based paper that was invented at the University of Utah, a gel-based paper. Now, what makes this paper so special is that it resembles a natural scaffolding that surrounds cells in the body. And once the cells are in place, the gel provides a natural-like environment in which the cells sort themselves out. Now, Glenn Prestwich is from the University of Utah. He's a medicinal chemist, and he's invented this formula. Now, as the first application, there's a group headed by a biophysicist, Gabor Forgax at the University of Missouri at Columbia. He intends to build a working blood vessel for use in patients with blood clots or heart conditions. And he said currently people are using polyester, but this would be a living graft. And the cells used to build the organs could be cultured from stem cells taken from fat or bone marrow tissue. He said we could engineer a blood vessel from your own cells. What a stride forward that would be, to be able to take one microscopic cell and to allow it to replicate, because it holds within it, that one little tiny cell holds the memory of the entire organ. Wouldn't that be an incredible thing? Now, they don't have any idea how long this would take, but we generally know that the liver, for example, can repair itself. Well, they're discovering that there are many organs that can do the same thing if the body is provided with the right kind of tools. So much is going on in the world, and I know it's very difficult to keep up with things, but don't be afraid to research. Don't be afraid to keep your eyes open for new strides, for change, new steps of progress. And don't forget the homeopathic either. There are many ways of working with different conditions, and I think the important thing to remember is no matter who you are, no matter where you are, you may not know all the answers. I guarantee you nobody else does either. But when you reach out and you can ask questions of people and just keep putting those questions out there, somewhere you'll connect with someone that will say, let me tell you about so-and-so. They might know somebody. And eventually you may reach that person that's going to be able to give you an answer that you have been seeking. And that applies on so many different levels of life. Don't be afraid to ask. What's the worst thing somebody can say? Sorry, I don't know. You say thank you very much and move on to somebody else. As you begin your week, and we're out of time now, know always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life gives us challenges so that we'll stand up and grow. Stand up and expand ourselves. And when you can remember that, yes, you may have some challenges. You might be living in a car right now. But that's only temporary. It's where you are in a given moment and what you do with it that's going to make a difference. And you may have an impact not just on your own life, but on the lives of many people as well. You know, you're pretty important. At least I think so. So go for it. Go for the highest. Go for the best. This is Donna Siebel. We'll be talking with our guest tomorrow and learning about when you hear a message three times, you better pay attention. Meanwhile, have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.